who are part of the supposed Big Four, the other three, none of them have a single argument. There's not one argument for any of them. Joe Burrow's argument is he was better in the regular season once ever, and his team missed the playoffs when Mahomes was 15-1. Lamar is one win away from being on that graphic with Dak Prescott, so he's eliminated. And Josh has played Patrick four times in the playoffs, played well in all four, and has gotten outplayed by Patrick in all four. And Patrick has been perfect in all four. And so it's a Patrick Mahomes has something to prove question, which is so bizarre because he's proven more than every other quarterback in the league put together.
Nick Wright, very defensive about his Chiefs. I'm ready for some Mahomes attacking right here. You know what he has to prove? Prove you can do what you did at the beginning of your career. Light it up. Right? Like, they've won. No one needs to prove over there whether they can win it all or whether they can win the big one or whether they can be a dynasty or whether none of that. They don't have to prove any of that. But how about you prove that you can be fun to watch again? How about that part of it? Prove that you can not be boring. They were the Warriors when they showed up in the league. When Mahomes was throwing 50 touchdowns, they were really fun to watch. And I don't think that's my Bills brain going, oh, they hadn't beat the Bills yet. And Kansas City had always been kind of dogged on by New England, and, like, you know, they weren't a great team. So for me, it was, that's cool. I hope the Bills build their team like that. And they did. So that's not them anymore, though. They are now low scoring, you know, take care of the football, play good defense, run the ball. Don't even run it particularly well, just run it. And we'll get a break at the end and we'll win 21-19. That's become the Chiefs for the last 2 years. Nobody wants to watch that. It'd be different. I really do think it would be different. I think it would feel different if they had been winning these AFCs, winning these recent Super Bowls, especially in the last 3 years, by just dog-walking people 48-20, looking like this unstoppable force. They don't look like that. And that makes it feel grosser. It makes it feel worse. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, there is giving him the respect he deserves because he's won. And I think for his legacy, you know, he has earned that. But that doesn't mean you have to lie to yourself and say for the last 2 years, he has been better than, I mean, Nick Wright is screaming and yelling there about the Big Four. Who's the Big Four? All in the AFC. Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Burrow. There's no argument that in the last 2 years, Mahomes has been better than those three. He's won. But you can win without being better. He was really good in the playoffs. No doubt. 2 years ago, he was really good in the playoffs. This past playoff, I think it was a little more pedestrian. But, except when they play the Bills, amazingly. But the last two seasons, Patrick Mahomes ranks 20 out of 44 quarterbacks that have thrown at least 300 pass attempts in the last two seasons. Patrick Mahomes ranks 28th, 29th, really. Allen is number 8, up at 7.6, tied for 6th, actually. Lamar Jackson, 8.4, is 2nd. And Joe Burrow's a little lower. Burrow's 20th. But they're all higher than Mahomes. Passer rating, he ranks 24th in the last two seasons. I mean, when 6.9 yards per attempt for Patrick Mahomes, he drops back to pass in the last two seasons, over 1,100 pass attempts. In his last 1,100 pass attempts, he averages the same yards for every time he drops back to pass as Anthony Richardson and Justin Fields. I mean, come on. Less than Winston and Desmond Ridder. Kind of can't believe Ridder actually qualifies for this. He has 500 attempts, though. Less than Kyler Murray. Less than Will Levis. Less than Russell Wilson. Trevor Lawrence. Derek Carr. Geno Smith. Dak. Herbert. Stafford. Daniels. Mason Rudolph. Joe Flacco. Mayfield by a lot. And then we get into the Allens and the... How about Sam Darnold? Here are the shorter list I should have done. Here are the quarterbacks that Mahomes averages more yards per attempt than in the last two seasons. Drake May, Gardner Minshew, his current backup, Aaron Rodgers, Bo Nix, Aiden O'Connell, Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Josh Dobbs. What does this all sound like, by the way? Does it sound ridiculous? Does this sound ridiculous? Tearing into, well, yeah, you know, the last 2 years, he hasn't really been that good. He's been to both Super Bowls in each of the last 2 years.
It definitely feels crazy that the numbers are what they are, but the numbers are bad.
The numbers are bad.
You can't argue with that. And could you say, yeah, but look at the result? Of course you can. And would you trade that result for those numbers? Of course. But I think when you're in the context of discussing who the best guy is individually, I think you have to take this stuff into account and you have to then remove the result from it all and recognize that he's not been as good as Josh the last 2 years.
I think he definitely hasn't been. And I think it's the extreme version of what a lot of the MVP discourse was last year. Like, why did... What was one big reason why Allen won MVP and Jackson didn't? One big reason that we've heard Dan Orlovsky and others on their shows say why they voted for Josh Allen was they felt like Lamar Jackson had more help.
Right.
He put up video game numbers last year. I don't think there's an argument that last year was Lamar Jackson's best season as a pro.
Yeah.
And he didn't win it. Part of that was he probably won before. And the other part of it was he had, like, what was it, 10 Pro Bowlers?
Right. He was stacked.
5 All-Pro guys.
He was surrounded by an environment that would make it hard for him not to succeed.
Right. And when I look at Mahomes right now, again, maybe this is not giving him enough credit for there. Although the overall numbers do not look good, there's this aura of a clutch gene for Mahomes. It actually is proven true.
Right.
Like, it's not... I feel like Kobe was somebody who always got this in the NBA, and the numbers never really backed it up. Like, he wasn't actually efficient in those late situations. Right. Like, there are other guys like that, too, in sports. Mahomes, actually, it's backed up. Like, third downs last year, he was unbelievable. Fourth downs, even better. Fourth quarters, late game situations. Like, it was true that he got better in those moments, and that deserves some credit. But what deserves a lot of credit in Kansas City and why you haven't heard Mahomes' name in an MVP conversation anywhere in the last 2 years, because even though his team won 15 games, look at the help Kansas City has really got him with, has given him.
Right.
He has Andy Reid. I mean, he's the best coach in the league, right? I think more and more he is building a case to be the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Like, I would be willing to stand on his behalf in an argument against Bill Belichick right now. I really would.
That's a good debate.
I really would. I think Reed is at that point.
His resume is undeniable. And
sure.
The way that he's done it has been stunning as well.
Look at his record without Mahomes.
Right.
His record without Mahomes is awesome. Look at Belichick's record without Brady. He becomes Rex Ryan. Worse. I think Joe Philbin. These are coaches that he has a lesser win percentage than. But Reed won without Mahomes. Didn't win the Super Bowl, but he won in regular seasons and went into the playoffs and made Super Bowls. So Reed being there is enormous. I really do. Like, the play calling in the playoffs, I think that's the biggest difference against the Chiefs in the playoffs for the Bills. This is how we kind of get back to the Bills here on this, is I don't feel like, it's the most amazing part of this, I don't feel like Allen's been outplayed by Mahomes in these four playoff games.
That was the one thing in that clip that we played to start the segment from Nick Wright was Josh played well in all four of those games, and Mahomes outplayed him.
That's why I wanted to circle back to, because he's making the claim that you have to put Mahomes above all of those other three because he's won, and I get that. That's what we do in sports. We count the wins, we count the rings, but I don't want to fully get on board with that, at least in an Allen versus Mahomes debate, because in those games he's won, I don't really feel like Allen has been worse.
No.
I feel like it's been other factors, the coaching especially.
I completely agree. I think that has been, like I said, that was the issue I had with what Wright said, was I don't think Mahomes has been better than Allen, one-on-one comparison in those games every time. I think a couple of them I'm thinking of that he definitely had unbelievable games that gave Josh a run.
Sure.
But you think about 13 seconds, that was two Titans, and I think it was very close, but I think Josh edges him out.
Statistically in that game?
In that game.
That might be right.
In terms of what he was able to do there, and just Mahomes was, I don't know, gifted an opportunity to go take it away from him. And I think that I wouldn't say that Mahomes outplayed Allen in that game.
No, in that game it was, let's see, Mahomes was pretty darn good. Mahomes' numbers against the Bills in the playoffs. All of me like showing off these numbers of like, hey, look, in the regular season the last 2 years, he's actually been bad.
Right.
Almost bad. This is maybe the furthest I want to go with that. In the playoffs against the Bills, he's been amazing. In that 13 seconds game, Mahomes is 33 of 44, 378 yards, 3 touchdowns. Allen, 27 of 37, 329 yards, 4 touchdowns. So it's almost the same. Like, Allen edges him a little bit,
but
in
even
efficiency and passer rating and all that. But it's pretty close.
Doesn't that make our point of like Mahomes wasn't that much better than Allen?
No, they were almost the same.
He won.
Right.
And why couldn't that be flipped? And then we're talking about Josh the exact same way that we're talking about Mahomes right now. If those two roles are reversed and we see, think about this flipped.
Right.
Would you make it's about what they individually, what we're talking about, are accomplishing. Not whether they are able to win the game in the end, which I know maybe that's a stupid discussion to even have because what matters? Do you win? All right.
Right.
Great. But what we're talking about is who's been better.
And I do think it's different. It might be different with Mahomes and Jackson because Jackson has had playoff failures.
Right.
That are on him. And I'm trying to think, though, has that really happened against the Chiefs? It's happened against the Bills. It's happened against the Titans. And when he's played Kansas City, I look at the numbers. I feel like that AFC Championship last year, probably some of it. I mean, Zay Flowers is the one, though, that fumbles at the 1 yard line, right? So I don't know. Jackson, it might be a little bit different. Burrow, it probably wouldn't be because he's showed up in those games against Kansas City. But for Allen, like, I'm not on board with, I've got to give Mahomes, oh, he's better because of the playoff success. Like, the playoff failure, it depends, you know, when you look at it game by game. Maybe the Bengal game would be one where you'd want to put blame on Josh's shoulders. But there just isn't this feeling of any of these playoff losses have gone down because the quarterback didn't show up or the quarterback put the ball on the ground. You know, he's been very turnover-prone in his regular season stats, but that was never true of the playoff stats. I remember looking last year. I don't know if this is still true. In fact, I should look up to see if it is. But last year, before this recent playoff season, Allen had the lowest interception percentage of any quarterback in playoff history.
Yeah.
Like, not only did he not turn the ball over, he turned the ball over less in the playoffs than any quarterback ever. And that's a difference between him and Jackson. Jackson's put the ball on the ground. And those couple of plays can cost you. So when you're comparing Allen and Mahomes, I just don't know what you're really standing on to say that they're anything but at least equal. And if they're not equal, look at who's been better the last two seasons. I don't think it's close. I think one has been substantially better than the other in the last two seasons, despite the fact the other one's gone to the Super Bowl.
Right. And the other one in Mahomes has had much more support, and the coaching's been better. The roster in many ways has been better. And I think, therefore, you've seen him in the last two Super Bowls and you haven't seen Josh there.
Yeah. If I go any of the, if I mentioned yards per attempt on Mahomes, if I make it a little bit deeper and I go like adjusted yards per attempt, so if I include sacks, right, and I think this might include rushing, no, it's just sacks, and interceptions. Allen, in the last two seasons, fourth best in the league. Want to guess who the top three are, by the way? Who are the top three quarterbacks in the last 2 years in adjusted yards per attempt? Who are the best three? Mahomes or Allen is fourth.
Lamar?
Lamar's number one.
Is...
These guys would be given a lot. The coaches would be given as much credit in these two situations as the quarterback
Matt
probably
Stafford.
Would. No, but close-ish.
Kyle Shanahan.
Yep. So Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy. Yeah,
he's number two.
See, there you go. I said the coach's name before the quarterback.
Yeah.
Who will be three there? Coach gets more credit.
This guy just got a head coaching job.
Ooh, just got a head coaching job. Oh, I'm blanking.
Josh, you got it?
Baker Mayfield?
No, Jared Goff.
Oh,
yes. Goff,
course.
Purdy, and Jackson. Those are the only three above Allen.
I was thinking like Liam Cohen there.
Yep. So again, this is yards per attempt, but includes sacks and picks.
Right.
Let me scroll. Let me just make sure I scroll down here to get to where Mahomes is, who is at 22nd. Mason Rudolph, Russell Wilson, Joe Flacco. Again.
Yeah.
Is it weird? Is it amazing? Like, when I'm not saying he has to prove anything for his legacy, but prove that you can put up the big numbers again. Be efficient. Be, you know, somebody who's fun to watch. I'm not going to have fun watching him no matter what.
Right.
But that's more, you know, commentary for the average football fan, I would say.
Yeah. I find it so interesting that both the Bills and the Chiefs had started their ascents as such high-octane, fun, sort of passing titans, and have now both, I think, moved to conservative. You know, you don't want to say boring, but boring football.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the league has done – right, that's not just a Kansas City thing. I mean, the Bills have been more efficient doing it in two regular seasons, but the league has done
it's everywhere. Yeah, you don't see that same – I mean, 4 years ago, it was all about how much can you bomb that ball down the field, how quick can you get a guy underneath it to catch it, and how many points can he score? And I think we've seen a lot of that shift. And I always find that interesting in sports, no matter what it is. You see it with hockey, with the way the Leafs tried to change the high skill game. And I love watching that sort of macro scope. The game's changing.
Yep.
And it's because of the success that you see these teams have, like Mahomes and the Chiefs have had.
Yeah. I think, though, what is interesting right now about where the league is for all that, this is a part of this Mahomes-Allen conversation, is the league started running the ball more in the last year or two. It started with more play action, more yak plays, more take what the defense is giving you, because defenses started backing up, too high safety shell, everyone's playing nickel, right. So they're playing light, they're giving you the run game. And that's kind of the genesis, I think, of what's probably happening in the league right now, be my guess. Is that there is a race right now in the league between the best offensive minds of the game. Andy Reid and, you know, Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay, Ben Johnson, like Joe Brady. All of these guys, I bet, are in a race right now. At least the smart ones are, the most innovative ones are, to figure out, how are we going to break passing back open again?
Right.
Because if you can pass the ball well, you are always going to be a better offense than the team that runs the ball well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's undeniable.
And right now, it's hard to pass the ball as well as teams were 5 years ago. Who's going to figure out how to beat these defenses.
Right.
How to combat nickel, two high safety shell that isn't just throw the ball at the line of scrimmage or hand the ball off. How are you going to either suck the defense back into playing the way they used to, or how are you going to figure out what they're doing right now? Because it'll bounce back. Teams aren't, it's always up and down. It's always ebbs and flows. And right now we are in a pocket of time where it's the run game. But I think somebody is going to get to a point where they could just stand back there, throw the ball 40 times again, and just unleash and nobody can stop them. And maybe that'll be the Bills.
Haven't we seen a little bit, the closest of that we've seen, is that not the offensive style, like Baltimore and Philly are the two that are exposing these tendencies because they have the size and the running impact that force defenses to
play
the style that opens up their passing offense.
That's right. And we saw that in the Super Bowl. Right. The exactly. Chiefs planned to take away Barkley. They did, and they still couldn't stop him. And how did Philadelphia do that? It wasn't just that their run game was able to do that. It's they have two receivers that you just can't cover.
Exactly.
And that's how they were able to accomplish it. They get time for Hurts, and they have two receivers that constantly get open. Mark and Tonawanda quickly before the break. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Thanks for squeezing me in. I just think that isn't this a direct reflection of these Sean McDermott defenses? Even if they play average football in these big games against Kansas City, we win. Even the Bengal game, the defense was terrible. And I guess you could point to, Brandon Bean drafting Kyrie Elam because he was terrible in this last game against the Chiefs. But yeah, if we get average defensive play, it's not even close. We're talking about Allen way above Mahomes. And this dork Nick Wright who drives me nuts. He doesn't have anything to stand on. But I'm going to have to listen and hit him straight, fellas.
Thanks, Mark. I mean, he has rings to stand on. And listen, if I were in that situation, I would probably do the same thing. But I just, it's more weird to me than anything else. Because I'm not trying to tear down Mahomes' legacy and say, oh, he's a career game manager, system quarterback. You do hear that once in a while. System quarterback, Andy Reid. It's an Andy Reid thing. But I think it's more so just the last 2 years. It's very strange to me that he's been so inefficient. And they've been able to win anyway, and that's great for them, and it stinks to be a Bills fan in the last 2 years with that being the case. It makes it more frustrating, right? 803-0550 is the phone number. When we come back, Kevin Ostreicher, we're going to start going through the Bills' schedule opponent by opponent, and we are going to start with Baltimore. What did they do this offseason? We just mentioned the team had a lot of Pro Bowlers and all pros around Lamar Jackson. Is that still the case? Because there have been some changes there in Baltimore. So we'll catch up on the Ravens when we come back here on WGR.
So actually, I was told the Ravens were involved with Jaire Alexander back in March when he was on the trading block, talked to the player, talked to Green Bay a little bit, fielded out. Nothing happened. So when he became a free agent, GM Eric DaCosta called that first day. There were some other teams involved. I was told Alexander thought about the Atlanta Falcons, where he had some relationships to the coaching staff there, the Miami Dolphins too, although they hadn't traded Jalen Ramsey, so there just wasn't an opening there financially yet. But he went on a visit this week to the Ravens without any promises. He was non-committal. He said, I just want to go chop it up with Lamar, the front office. He was there a couple hours. He said, I'm good. I'm signing with...
The Baltimore Ravens signed Jaire Alexander. We had some conversations about him, as there was a report from earlier in the offseason the Bills were in on that as a trade idea, and then they did their thing. They signed Tre'Davious White, and Alexander becomes available, goes to Baltimore. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. It's a beautiful Monday morning. And let's start ripping through the Bills schedule a little bit. Joining us now on the Western Hotline, Kevin Ostreicher from Locked On Ravens. One of our favorites. Also a fellow Denver Nuggets fan along like myself, Kevin, and I think they've had a pretty good offseason, it seems.
Yeah, pretty good offseason for them. And, you know, I think from a football perspective, I'm ready for the offseason to be over. And, you know, I just counting down the days over here for football.
Yeah, at least until training camp, right? Like, this is easily the NFL is 11 months and 3 weeks of the calendar year. And I feel like we're in that other 2.5-3 weeks where there's just, well, we get the NFL top 100. And that's like basically it.
Yeah, yeah, and this has been a busier offseason, I think, for a lot of teams in terms of just, like, the calendar year aspect of it. A lot of moves, a lot of rumors and things of that sort. And so, you know, the NFL is a year-round business, which, it's exciting to have that excitement in it. But, you know, there's nothing like these guys suiting up and playing some football.
Yeah. So before we get to the Ravens offseason, Kevin, we just got to a conversation that – you know, Josh played a Nick Wright clip, and I got fired up about, you know, the other thing that's happening right now is ranking season, and how do you take in Mahomes' rankings? Because it feels like there's either he isn't ranked, like if anyone's doing some random old quarterback ranking, he's either not number one, and then there's, you know, oh, how could you possibly do that, or he is number one, and I don't know. I feel like that's almost because you have to do it, or you're just counting how many times you've made it to the Super Bowl? Because I don't know about you, but I don't feel like there is any argument in the last 2 years, at least, that he's been the best quarterback. He shows up in clutch time, but when you look at Jackson and you look at Allen, I just think their resumes in the last 2 years for themselves, maybe not the team, is just definitively better.
Yeah, I'd have to say that, you know, look, Mahomes has the rings. He's going to have that right now over both Lamar and Josh. But I think in terms of the team, and for Kansas City last year, it's such an interesting case study because they won so many of those close games and they pulled him out of thin air in a bunch of situations where, you know, Mahomes is still a top five quarterback in this league. Like, he's still extremely talented. He's the guy that the Ravens and the Bills have to beat. But to me, I think that, you know, there's a difference between the fact that Mahomes has the rings versus the fact that I think Allen and Lamar are better players. And, you know, it's something where, you know, I think you can acknowledge both things and not be wrong about it. And, you know, I think with last season, with the MVP race playing out the way it did, with Lamar and Josh right there together, I mean, that was how it should have been. It was Lamar and Josh. Mm-hmm. And While I think Mahomes was a step down there, he was the one to make the Super Bowl out of the AFC. You know, at this point, if you ask people, man, who are you starting a franchise with today, I think that Lamar and Josh should be on that list over Mahomes.
Yeah, I do too. So let's get to how the Ravens have surrounded Jackson this offseason, although they already had such a great roster around him. What would you say are the biggest changes in Baltimore this year? They bring back Derrick Henry. They bring in DeAndre Hopkins, but at this point, it feels like he's more of a secondary piece. So, like, what would you call their best move of the offseason so far?
I think it has to be Jair Alexander, and that's just on the fact that I still think he's a top 10 cornerback when healthy, and I know that's the big question is if he can stay healthy. So, you know, it's a pretty big aspect of it, but I call it a no-risk, high-reward signing. I know the term is low-risk, high-reward. I truly do think there's no risk in this because they signed him to a deal worth $4 million and go up to $6 million. I think the reward that you can get out of a deal like that if you're Baltimore is absolutely incredible because you're not having him come in through the face of your secondary. You know, there's not that pressure on him where, you know, you say you have Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins and you add another all-pro to that secondary on a cheap deal. I think that you can never have too many cornerbacks. That's something that Ozzie Newsome, who, you know, ran the show here for a while in Baltimore, said all the time and still says it, where you can't have enough cornerbacks. And so to me, I think that for the Ravens, adding that depth in the secondary is huge. And, you know, you draft Malachi Starks as well in the first round. You have five former first-round picks in your starting secondary now, which is just incredible. So they invested there. And I think hopefully it will come back to help them out a lot because they already lost our Darius Washington for most, if not all, the season this year with an Achilles injury. So they need all the help they can get in that secondary, but I think they did well for themselves.
Does the defense overall feel like it could be a top unit? There were times last year, although this was maybe more at the beginning of the season, where there was a little bit of a wonder of how good they were on that side of the ball and ended up looking good by the end. This year, I don't know, what's the ceiling, you think, for that unit?
Yeah, I think that they certainly can be a top five group. Yeah, you mentioned the beginning of the year last year. You know, they were a great run defense throughout the entirety of the season last year. It was the pass defense that really was their struggle there. And that's because, you know, Brandon Stevens, after a great 2023, he fell off in a big way in 2024. Marcus Williams was awful for them. Eddie Jackson, they had to cut mid-season. So they were trying to work through a bunch of guys that were either underperforming or just weren't giving them what they needed. So when they made the necessary changes, and Ardarius Washington was a big part of that, they moved Kyle Hamilton back to just being a traditional safety in that role, not being a Swiss Army knife. That was their last attempt at it, and it worked. So this year, kind of having year two of Zach Orr as a defensive coordinator, I think at all three levels you feel pretty confident. And Baltimore didn't really lose a ton this offseason in general on both sides of the ball. I think, you know, Brandon Stevens, Patrick McCary, Trey White, those are some of your big losses of the offseason. And compared to the last couple of seasons where they were losing guys out of their major core, it's a big shift. So I think they got better as a team while not losing a lot of that talent. And, you know, I think a lot of people in Baltimore kind of see Zach Orr as on that Mike McDonald train, where young coach coming up, someone who struggled a bit in the first part of his first year as defensive coordinator and then really got it together and he might be a head coach in the next couple of seasons. So I think a lot of people here love what the defense has the potential to do.
Kevin Ostreicher locked on Ravens with us for another minute or two. The Ravens, the Bills' week one opponent. Offensively, I guess kind of what do they want to be this year and going forward? Jackson set a career high in pass attempts last year, although that could have just been because they ran more plays. Because last year, Kevin, like their rushing attack, I feel like there was a statistical argument that was like the greatest rush attack the NFL has ever seen. But Jackson also put up video game numbers throwing the ball. So is this a shift at all? Do you think they are more comfortable with him airing it out? Do you think they want to run the ball, or are they kind of in the sweet spot right now?
I think they have a really nice sweet spot, and part of that is because they have so many talented pass catchers, but they understand that they're a run-first team, and it'll always be that way, you know, in this era of, hey, you know, you get a – whatever running back you want, put him next to Lamar Jackson, and, you know, that duo will be great in that regard. You know, get the offensive line right. But you have Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, DeAndre Hopkins, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, and the possibilities there are endless. And so I do think that while the run game is always going to be a big part of who they are here, the thing that made this offense so dangerous last year was the fact that you really never knew what was coming, and so you couldn't stack the box up against Lamar and Derrick Henry. And when you can't add that extra power into your defensive front to stop those guys, it might be a long day for you. So I think that, you know, with the Ravens, I would even maybe expect it more on the 50-50 side in terms of run-pass this year under Todd Monken in year three. And I think now, you know, you upgrade at wide receiver three with DeAndre Hopkins compared to Nelson Aguilar. You know, on the offensive line, you're getting year two, Roger Rosengarten, Ronnie Stanley comes back. And, you know, the guard spots are a little bit of a question mark right now, so we'll see about that. But I think Baltimore's really comfortable with where they are right now offensively.
Last one for you, Kevin. Mark Andrews obviously had that end of the season here in Buffalo that Bills fans saw up close and personal, and he's still there. He's got 1 year left on his contract. My question for you would be how much you think he's got left. I mean, he is only 29. And here's Darren Waller coming back at 33, and Kelsey's still going at 35. But I know there's been injuries there. There was the car accident, right, that he had. So, I don't know, do you feel like there is... is bounce back even the right word? There's all more left in the tank for Mark Andrews, given that he isn't even 30 yet.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. I mean, I still think he's a top five tight end personally. I know that, you know, in Baltimore, what everybody last saw was what you mentioned. It was the end of the season drop, the fumble. You know, it's all out there for everybody to see. And plus, it's not the first time Mark has underperformed in the playoffs. He is a notorious playoff dropper. for the most part over the course of his career, which is unfortunate because he's such a great player. But it is a what-have-you-done-for-me-now league. And, you know, that for Mark Andrews was the unfortunate series of events here in Baltimore that everybody saw. So, to me, I think that he has a lot left. The Ravens' entire tight end room is up for contracts after this season. They're going to have to make some tough decisions there. The consensus, and I share this sentiment, is that this is probably Mark's last year in Baltimore. I think it's worth keeping him on the roster for one more year. I don't think a mid-round pick before the season starts is going to do anything for you, especially when you can just get a comp pick for him next year. But this is, you know, in this league, you can't keep everybody, and the Ravens have a lot of extensions coming on the pipeline they're going to have to worry about. Mark is one of those candidates, but it feels like Isaiah Likely is going to be the guy to be the long-term answer at the tight end spot for them. So I think that we'll see a really good year from Mark. I know a lot of people are down on him based off what happened against the Bills, but you know, the chemistry that Lamar and Mark have, you can't replicate that. And he's someone that, yes, those were bad moments that happened in Buffalo. There's no doubt about it here in Baltimore. But I think that doesn't define who he is as a player, and I still think that he has multiple good years left.
Kevin Oestreicher on the Wester Hotline, Locked On Ravens, Locked On NFL Podcast, too, contributor as well. You can check him out there. So thanks, Kevin, for the time, and we'll talk closer to week one. Love to have this matchup for the start of the season.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Appreciate you having me. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kevin. Mark Andrews, as he mentioned there, drops in the playoffs. There are four playoff games where it looks like where he has at least one drop. And obviously, the Bernard fumble that he punches out isn't considered a drop, but fumble-wise, that was his first playoff fumble. So he hadn't had a fumble before, but a couple of drops. 803-0550 is the phone number. Fantasy football, I've got a draft today. Scott Fishbowl draft coming up in a little bit later this afternoon. Adam Krautwurst is going to join us as fantasy season approaches. He'll come up on the show at 9 o'clock. So quick time for your phone calls in the next segment, and then we'll talk some fantasy coming up here on WGR. Jeremy Fowler has his top 10 series back from ESPN. 70-plus executives, coaches, and scouts ranking the top 10 at every position in the league. First one up this morning, running back. And, of course, you're wondering, is James Cook on the list? And he is. Number 8. Coaches, executives, and scouts in the NFL have James Cook as the 8th best running back in football. His highest ranking by anybody was number 4. AFC executive, he's perfect for that offense with a quarterback that spreads things out, good in the passing game, catches the ball really well, good in open space. Not sure he's elite, but he's really, really good. Running backs ahead of him, Jonathan Taylor at 7, Josh Jacobs at 6, McCaffrey at 5, Bijan Robinson at 4, Jahmyr Gibbs, Derrick Henry, and Saquon Barkley make out the top 3. I did see some pushback on Bijan being number 4, that like, he was drafted high, and he's put up some big volume numbers, but I don't know that he's the 4th best running back in football. And nobody had him ranked lower than number 6. So, top 10 at running back. How many positions will the Bills have a top 10 position? Let's spend some time on that maybe in the 9 o'clock hour. But coming up next, Adam Krautwurst, full-time fantasy. We'll talk some fantasy with him as drafts are approaching. I've got one this afternoon. So, if you're looking and you got some questions about something you've been thinking about for your draft, throw them in, and we'll get to them with Adam. Coming up next here on WGR.